will rise to Him. There's been times when we've praised men, the achievements of men. There's been times when we've praised teams. There's been times when we've praised things in nature. There's been times when all sorts of songs of thanksgiving and adoration have gone out to the Lord. But there's coming a time when all praise will rise to our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords, because He's worthy of our praise and He deserves our praise. And it's our privilege this morning, Lord God, to bring You praise, Lord God. It is our privilege to give You thanks and to declare here and now, Father God, that You're Lord, that You're good, and that we love You and we worship You, Father. Thank You for the privilege of in freedom this morning to be able to call out on the name of Jesus, that we can say Jesus, and we thank You for that, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. It's my privilege this morning to continue ministering to you on our theme for the last several weeks on the topic called holiness. Just to recap what we spoke about last, Ruth, you sitting in the wrong place, my dear. I haven't sat there once this morning. Somebody asked me, Mozzie, are you and Colette fighting? I said, no. Ruth's seat is reserved. But we've been speaking about holiness for several weeks. And last week, we looked at the fact that, amongst other things, holiness means following Jesus even when others don't. We looked at the concept that the Scripture describes in John chapter 6 and verse 66, that even disciples like you and me. I asked folks to raise their hands and said, who consider yourself a disciple? And some folks raised their hands. It says that the disciples, not the heathens, not the atheists, nie die ongelowiges nie, nie die rebelle wat hom wat doodmaak nie, nie die Romeine nie, nie wie ook al nie, maar die disciples het op 'n plek gekom in hulle lewens waar hulle besluit het, nee, Jesus, hiervanaf kan ek jou nie volg nie, because dit wat jy met ons deel is dan te erg, want dit is te radical vir my. Vir ek is 'n kerkmens, dit wat u van my verwag is nou bietjie te radical. It's nice that you can do a few tricks, that you can answer my prayers when I pray, or you can do a miracle when I need it, and you can play Father Christmas, and you can be a 24/7 emergency chemist when I need you, but when you ask stuff of me that's too radical, then Lord Jesus, dan sit nou bietjie te veel. And we saw that disciples turned from following Jesus. We said that holiness, amongst other things, means following Jesus even when others don't. This morning, we're going to look at the concept of having a transition of slavery to holiness. And holiness and righteousness, amongst other things, and this portion of Scripture that we're going to focus on today speaks about slavery. So if you got your Bibles, please turn with me to the New Testament. You get Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Come with me to the book of Romans in the 6th chapter. We read from verse 1 to the whole chapter of verse of Romans 6. I try to streamline and thin it down, but it's just the more I read, the more excited I got. So I'm reading the whole of Romans 6 this morning, and I encourage you to follow with me. I'm using the New Living Translation, the first edition. It says it in a particular way that stirred me more than any other translations that I meditated on for this particular passage. So if you got your Bibles, Romans chapter 6 from verse 1. Are you ready to experience the ride of your life this morning and let the Spirit of God change your heart? Amen. Ons gaan nie net lees nie, ons gaan verwag dat die Heilige Gees ons harte gaan verander. Is jy gereed daarvoor? Hallelujah. If you came this morning expected to be impressed by a man preaching, you're going to be bitterly disappointed. But if you're expecting God to speak to you, and if you want to hear His voice, He's not going to disappoint. Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more kindness and forgiveness? Of course not. Since we've died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when we became Christians and were baptized to become one with Christ Jesus, we died with Him? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we've been united with Him in His death, we also will be raised as He was. Our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For we died with Christ. when we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also share His new life. We are sure of this because Christ rose from the dead and He will never die again. Amen. Death no longer has any power over Him. He died once to defeat sin and now He lives for the glory of God. So you should consider yourselves dead to sin and able to live for the glory of God through Christ Jesus. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to its lustful desires. Do not let any part of your body become a tool of wickedness to be used for sinning. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, since you've been given new life, and use your whole body as a tool to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master, for you are no longer subject to the law, which enslaves you to sin. Instead, you are free by God's grace. So since God's grace has set us free from the law, does this mean we can go on sinning? Of course not. Don't you realize that whatever you choose to obey becomes your master? You choose sin, which leads to death. Or you can choose to obey God and receive His approval. Thank God. Once you were slaves of sin, but now you've obeyed with all your heart the new teaching God has given you. Now you are free from sin, your old master, and you've become slaves to your new master, righteousness. I speak this way using the illustration of slaves and masters because it's easy to understand. Before, you let yourselves be slaves of impurity and lawlessness. Now, you must choose to be slaves of righteousness so that you will become holy. In those days, when you were slaves of sin, you weren't concerned with doing what was right. And what was the result? It was not good. Since now you're ashamed of the things you used to do, things that end in eternal doom. But now you're free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Now you do those things that lead to righteousness and result in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Father, it is our privilege this morning to hear the words from the only true living God. It is our privilege this morning to have you, Holy Spirit, make this come alive to us. It is our privilege this morning to have the Holy Spirit teach us its true meaning with no doubt, no deception, no false doctrine. This morning, Lord, we all want to hear from you. It's in fear and trembling, Lord God, that I ask that you make every one of your heartbeats be heard this morning and your heart for us, your people, be spoken through my mouth this morning. All of you and none of me in Jesus' mighty name. I see a principle come out in this passage of Scripture about slavery. And it takes my mind to the concept of slavery. How many of you have seen the movie Roots? Has anybody in this church seen the movie Roots? Please put up your hands. Don't be shy. It's not a sin. I haven't seen the movie Roots, but I saw the picture. I remember seeing the picture advertising this movie, and that picture captured my imagination. Because the picture advertising that movie, and I don't know if it's a... Some people get offended with certain kind of movies and I don't know, but I'm just using it as illustration purposes this morning. Are you okay with that, church?
Amen.
I saw the picture. It's of a picture of a guy that I assume is a slave because it's about slavery, I think. And you can see an expression on this man's face that is lifeless, that is hopeless, that has nothing to look forward to. And in the picture, he has shackles on his hands, chains, shackles. As I style bangles met 'n katang tussen in, né? Jy kan nêrens heen gaan nie, jy kan nie maak wat jy smaak nie, because jy's in slavernij, of slavery, slavernij.
Slavernij.
You're a slave. And I remember seeing that as a young man, that picture just, it stirred something in my soul that is what slavery must be like. You're bound and you're captured and you're caught and you can't do anything. And in one picture, I could see the bondage in this man's face. I could see his pain. And I got to see that this is a man whose life has ended and it's ruled and regulated by these things on his wrists. And I see this lived out and told to us and taught us in this passage of Scripture. That is why the Holy Spirit saw it fit to pen this through the Apostle Paul as he wrote to the church. He said, I'm using this example because you understand this thing. So this morning, in our discussion and our pursuit of holiness to understand what holiness is, we've got to look at the concept of slavery, how binding it can be and how liberating it can be. And we look at the concepts of slavery this morning. Are you okay with that this morning, church? So maybe you have witnessed slavery. Maybe some of you have had the privilege of visiting countries where slavery ruled. Maybe some of you have been to countries where slavery is still pretty much the order of the day. Today, in the Church of Jesus Christ, as well as in the world, they are slaves to certain things. Now here's the kicker. Aren't you glad you came to church this morning? Amen. Seven of you are. Hopefully by the end of the sermon, the rest of you will be glad you came to church. The truth is that this morning, God is speaking to slaves. There was like one half-hearted amen from the back here. It's like, waarvan praat hy nou? Hy plot verloor. God is speaking to slaves this morning. I am a slave this morning. But the news is good news this morning. Collect your shackles on the way out. Hallelujah. Some concepts of slavery this morning, church. Number one, a slave has no rights. A slave has no privileges. He has no entitlement. A slave can't say, yeah, but this is mine, that's mine. Because I've achieved this level in society, hierdie moet na my toe kom. Because I have this standard of education, I can do this. Because I earn this, I can have that. Because I have this title or this position, you must owe me respect. A slave cannot have access to any of that. A slave has no rights. A slave has no rights. So too, a person who's died to self and is a slave to righteousness has no right. And this one, I wish I didn't have to preach this because I don't yet live up to this. But I have to preach what God has laid on my heart. Can you say amen? So this is a case where this morning I'm preaching something that I don't yet practice. Will you forgive me, church? So I'm going to preach something that I don't yet practice. Is that okay with you? Some of you are near. Moenie vir my preek nie, want jy dit nie kan doen nie. Hoe durf jy vir my preek en jy leef dit nie eens uit self nie, nee, but here goes. A person who's a slave to righteousness has no right to get offended. Amen. Some of you want to take your offering back because you don't want to pay for this kind of preaching. You have no right to get offended. If you've really died to self, can you offend a dead man? Oh, but I can get offended. Just don't greet me. Just do something that I don't smock. Dan gaan ek my wip. Ek vang 'n gly. Some of you this morning, you're still fanging. You're still sliding on that gly that you fung when somebody did something that you didn't like. Don't raise your hands now. You're still fanging your gly. Jy het nog nie opgehou gly nie. Jy gly nog steeds. Slave has no right to get offended and get upset and have no sense of entitlement. I see myself as a child of God for the majority of my walk with Jesus about me, I, the three most important people, me, myself, and I. Lord Jesus, what can I get from your gospel? What promises can I get from your scripture to make my life lacquer? And I get to a place in my life where I have a sense of entitlement, where as a child of God, whose name is written in his book of life, I feel that I'm entitled to certain things. What? Waar kry ek dit? Waar sien ek dit hierso geskrewe? That concept of entitlement, brothers and sisters, does not exist. I want to tell you, it's unscriptural. You're unscriptural. Unscriptural. But Mozzie, what about the promises? Well, yes, well, what about them? What about them? If I'm serving Christ, I've laid down my life for the cause of Christ, so what I can get out of it, I submit to you that perhaps there's some motives in my heart that are not pure, because I must live for Christ alone, just because of who He is and what He's already done. just because of who He is and what He's already done, not because of what I want and still hope from Him. Yes, I can hope, and yes, I can expect, and I can believe Him for promises, church, and that's fine. But my primary objective must be to have more of Christ and not more of the stuff that He can give. My primary objective must be to have more of God and not what God can give me. Can you see the difference? And when you live like that, you don't have entitlement. You don't think, oh, well, Lord, I'm believing You, and I'm doing all the right things, and I'm acting in faith. Why is this not happening? But that's just me. I don't know about you. So the first concept is the slave. Has no rights, no entitlement. Galatians 2 and verse 20 from the second New Living Translation, the NLT second edition, says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Can we really say that? It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. I know I can't, because I still get offended. That means I haven't died to self. That means there's still so much of self in me and far too little of Jesus. But that's just me. Where are you at with that this morning? Principle number two. A slave is bought and paid for by somebody that has a higher form of authority. A slave is bought and paid for by somebody who has a higher form of authority. It might be a higher authority in society. It might be a higher financial status. It might be some form of authority. A slave is bought by somebody that has a higher authority. That passage of Scripture speaks to us being slaves to sin. You see, when you volunteer your life to a lifestyle of slavery in bondage to sin, you are dictated to by the lusts of the flesh. The enemy of your soul, the devil, Satan, Lucifer, whatever you want to call him, dictates to you. Your flesh obeys, and you are a slave to a higher authority. Because the authority of the kingdom of darkness supersedes the authority that you should be exercising in Christ Jesus. So you're sold into slavery and bought by somebody who has a higher authority. When your flesh yearns for the things of the flesh and fulfills the lusts of the flesh and does what the flesh wants, and you with your mind make a decision to give in to those lusts, you're a slave. Amen. To a higher authority. The authority of unrighteousness and sin and bondage and the law of sin and death. You're a slave to that. But when you choose to submit yourself to righteousness and holiness, you choose to let yourself be sold into slavery, where you become a slave to that which is right. Met ander woorde. The higher authority then in your life is authority of God and His Word and His perfect will. Nothing else. Your authority is God and His Word and nothing else. And then when you get an understanding of that, you let the Holy Spirit lead you. And the Holy Spirit leads you. So in other words, your flesh will dit doen, but you tell yourself, like Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:27, I discipline my body, lest when I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified. In other words, he says, the him that is higher than his flesh, the born-again Paul, the spirit man Paul, says to the flesh, when the flesh cries out and says, I want to do this, and then ek wil my eden, he says, no, you ain't subject to me, you will obey what I want you to do. Then you're a slave to righteousness. You're a slave to righteousness. So, the question is this morning, to which higher authority are you enslaved this morning? To which higher authority are you enslaved this morning? Concept number three. Concept number three is coming shortly. Concept number two is not yet finished. You're bought by authority. You bought with the precious blood of Jesus. That was the price. I just want to give you those scriptures quickly. You can write them down. It's 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20. And 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 23. And 1 Peter 1 verse 18 to 19. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20. 1 Corinthians 7, 23, and 1 Peter 1, verse 18 to 19. It says that we've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Concept number three. And looking at that picture, for advertising that movie, it just captured so well. The man's eyes, there was like, it was like, say, oop is oop, maar het nie visie gehad nie. You see, there's one thing worse than being blind, and that's having no vision. Did you get that? There's one thing worse than being blind when it comes to sight, and that's having no vision. I have no vision for the future. No hope for the future. Ek kan nie, daar is nie eens 'n tunnel, wat van lig op die einde van die tunnel nie. Daar is nie eens 'n tunnel nie. Dis net niks. And in his eyes I could see that there's no promise of a better tomorrow. It's a bad place to be at. There's no promise of a better tomorrow. There is no hope. There's no scope for hope. That just came up in me now. And that's cool, eh? I think I'm going to get this recording. This is good preaching. Can you say amen? Because it's Jesus and not me. There's no scope for hope. Yes, that sounds nogal lekker. Okay. Somebody must make a bumper sticker like that. Concept number 3. A slave's future is determined by his owner. A slave's future is determined by his owner. So the bad slavery, in a moment's notice, that owner can decide whether you're going to get fed today or not. That owner can decide whether you're going to get a change of clothing today or not. That owner can decide whether you're going to get the privilege of using the toilet today or not. That owner can decide today whether you live or die today, in a moment's notice. So your future as a slave is in the hands of your owner. So if you're enslaved to sin and succumb to the lust of the flesh, and the authority of darkness is authority over your life, guess what? Your spiritual destiny is in his hands. You say, oh no, Monsieur, Monsieur. Really? Well, that's what the Bible says. You're a slave to sin. That's why Paul says, this is why I'm using this example, so that you can understand how serious this thing is in our pursuit of holiness. The future of a slave is in the hands of his or her owner. So too, when you come out of the kingdom of darkness and submit yourself to being a slave to righteousness and holiness, your future is in God's hands. I said your future is in God's hands. Not South Africa, not your employer, not your spouse, not the government. Your future is in God's hands. And he's never dropped the ball once. He's never let any human being down once. He's never made a mistake once. Not even when I was born. He didn't make a mistake. He knew what he was doing. Gwyneth, you should have said amen. Come on. Your future's in God's hands. When you submitted to his holiness and righteousness. It's like, God, I don't understand it all. I don't understand everything about your word. I'm still learning, I'm still growing, but that's okay. Jy sukkel om die Here te kan verstaan, die Here, the present. And then you're asking questions about stuff that's beyond your understanding. Just chillax, take a few steps back, and just accept that die onbekende toekoms kan jy toevertrou in die hande van 'n welbekende God. Your future is in his hands. Romans 8:29. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son Jesus, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. There's so many scriptures that I could have chosen this morning for that one, but this is the one that God impressed upon me. Whom he foreknew. He had a knowledge of you before you were you. People think about that. He had knowledge of you before you were you. And he predestined. He predetermined. There's a future and a plan. God says this morning, church, by the Spirit of God. Listen to this. God, please give me eye contact for a moment, everybody. God says this of you this morning. I have determined your future. Will you receive it? I've determined your future. If you're pursuing or experiencing anything less than that, you're missing out. He says to you this morning, I have determined your future. whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son Jesus. So the third concept is a slave's future is determined by his or her owner. Fourth concept, a slave can be set free. You know how that excites me? I cannot tell you the drudgery and the misery I experienced when I was a slave to sin. I thought I had freedom because I could come and go in my car as I pleased. In the meantime, I lived behind invisible bars that no man could break. I thought that I could come and go as I pleased because I earned a certain amount of money and can do things with it, and yet I was enslaved behind bars that no man could break. I thought that I was free because my physical body could allow me to do certain things being a younger man, and yet I was entrapped and enslaved to the enemy like you cannot believe. And then when I learned that Jesus can and wants to set me free, and I started living and walking in that liberty and freedom, people, I know a man today who's under house arrest for serving a term of imprisonment for doing his job. He got paid by the government to do certain things, which then later became frowned upon, and things were exposed in the New South Africa and the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. And you know how people are, somebody needs to take the blame, right? I said somebody needs to take the blame. We always try to find, all right, whose fault is it? Whose fault is it? We want to pin the blame on somebody. This man was the fall guy. He's the guy that they chose to take the fall for the stuff-ups of several others. And he was imprisoned for X amount of time. He's now under house arrest. This new liberty to him is so profound that where he stays from time to time, he goes to the door and he opens it, steps out, he goes back in, and he closes it. Just to experience the privilege of being able to open and close a door himself. That's how precious and valuable his freedom is. We do certain things for entertainment. I shoot, I ride my motorcycle as fast as I can. I do certain things for fun. You know what he does for fun? He goes to the door and he opens it. Yes, I'm free. And he closes it again. No, wait, it's too good to be true. And he opens it. Because of freedom. I saw this saying that apparently Nelson Mandela said. I don't know. He said the purpose of freedom is that you can give it to others. Kind of profound, isn't it? The purpose of freedom is so that you can give it to others. So when I was set free from these shackles and these bars and these chains that kept me in bondage, that freedom was beautiful. And I realized that this morning. Church, Jesus can set you free. Jesus can set you free. So I wonder, you sitting here this morning, what are your invisible bars made out of? Your invisible prison, the doors that are keeping you out of God's best for your life. That's fine. Ons moet onself hier so kan wees, Rosa, of nie anders dan. If we can't be ourselves in the house of God, then where can we be ourselves? We're having a moment there, see? So, what's keeping you trapped this morning? You think you're free, okay? I'll say this to you. Hier is die maatstaf. If there's anything in your life right now, either because of your own, I nearly said stupid, but you're not stupid, because of your own hardnekkigheid, kom ons stel het so. Verstaan ons dit? Because of your own stubbornness and refusal to change, my way or no other way, what does your shackles of slavery look like? You see, because if there's anything in your life because of your hardnekkigheid that's keeping you out of what God has predestined for you, I submit to you that you're in slavery. Maybe to a greater or lesser degree. I don't know. Maybe the shackles opened, but it's not yet opened completely. It's unlocked, but it's still on something that's keeping you back. You can be set free this morning. John chapter 8 and verse 36, therefore if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. If the Son makes you free, met ander woorde, if your freedom, everybody say freedom. Now say it like a South African, freedom. Freedom! If your freedom is not brought about by the Son, you're not actually free. Could you see that in that scripture? If the Son makes you free, you're free indeed. Met ander woorde, die freedom wat jy nou besig is om te beleef, if you're not being set free by Jesus, if it's because of self-empowerment, self-enablement, or enablement by the enemy, or any other concept other than Jesus Christ, the Son of God, you're not free. You're not free. But if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. Hallelujah. Man, that excites me. I can be free this morning. I can be free this morning. Free of... Ooh. Yeah, I'm exciting myself here. Man alive, this is good. Point number five. As slavery to sin makes us sons of the devil, some of you are like, woo, already you're offended there. I can imagine how this went down when Jesus first said it. He says, you oaks, you're like your father, the devil. You know who he said it to? Church folk. He said it to church folk, like you and me. He said, you with your colors, you like your father, the devil. I'm talking about see my colors now. Imagine that. That's who he said it to. It was the kerk mense. He says, you like your father, your devil. You like your father, the devil. Yama, how can you say that to me? Why? Because in your heart, you desire the things of your father. This is not part of the notes. But I feel the Lord lays on my heart to say this. You cannot be tempted by anything you don't really want. You cannot be tempted by anything you don't really want. So if the devil puts something in front of you and you're tempted by it, or whatever it is, guess what? That means that there's something in your blessed little heart that's of your father, the devil. How can you say that, Mozzie? I'm a born-again child of God, and I talk in tongues, shondai rondai. If there's something in your heart that Satan desires, Jesus said, you're of your father, the devil, because you have his desires. That's how he determined it. He didn't determine it by what you said, or what you act, or how look you are, or how good you are as a leader, or whatever. He determined it by the desires of your heart. So I stand before God this morning like, Lord, there's things in this little pompie wat hierdie bloed laat loop. Jesus says, you're of your father, the devil. Of course, Jesus was speaking about people in other churches. Nobody in this church. Can you say amen? As slavery to sin makes you the sons of the devil, we see that in John 8:44. So slavery to righteousness and holiness makes us sons of God. I'm a small man with a big mouth. You know how many times that's got me into trouble in my life? I'm like a Jack Russell. A Jack Russell doesn't know he's a Jack Russell. He thinks he can take on a Rottweiler and he gets this small type of mate geklap. You know how many times that's happened to me because I'm a small man with a big mouth? So many times it's been asked of me like this. Hey, da honor. Wie de hel denk jy is jy? Who do you think you are? Yes, and I had all sorts of answers and stuff like that. But today, if the devil and anybody else asks me that, you know what I love to know? What I love to know? I, if nothing else, am a son of God. Amen. I'm a son of God. I'm nothing if I'm not a son of God. I am nothing if I'm not a son of God. This morning, wie die hel dink jy's jy? Rory and I come back. Go back many, many years, several decades. I can say, Rory, my bro, who the hell do you think you are? I know you won't get offended. Who are you? this morning. Wie dink jy is jy? So as slavery to sin makes you a son of the devil, slavery to holiness and righteousness makes you a son and a daughter of the Most High God. Amen. That's who you are this morning. That is who you are. Man, if that hasn't made your day, then I don't know, then God has to send a bolt of lightning to klap jou achter jou rechter oor, laat hy jou aandag kan kry vir 'n slag. You're a son and a daughter of the Most High God. Galatians 3 and verse 26. Galatians, nee. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. That's if you're living that life, okay? In the context of where it's said, that's the scripture to encourage you with it. Point number 6. A slave to righteousness and holiness has a full inheritance. As a slave, what they do is somebody mightier and stronger with more money and more soldiers and more people with guns or spears or whatever came to people that were a lesser people in terms of their numbers and their might and their strength or whatever. They'd come and they'd say, we want this, we want that, you live, you die, yay blay, yay kom sam. And they'd just go through pilfering and ransacking villages, etc., and just deciding who they want to do what for them, when and how. So that's what would happen. So let's say you're a landowner or an owner of something or whatever, and people greater and mighty and more numerous than you come and decide that word nie meer so nie. We're taking this, we're taking that. All the inheritance that you had stored, that you had planned, suddenly is no longer yours. Suddenly is no longer yours. Today things have changed a little bit. Let's say you've invested in the stock exchange, or your financial worth is a computer-generated electronic figure on a system, a hard drive, or a mainframe somewhere. Let's say your net worth is that, and not physical possessions that you can touch. All it would take is for somebody, being somebody, just to come and change that. Click, or enter. Clink, and you're a skillet. Guess what you've got? And guess what you're going to be able to do about it? If you think I'm talking bollocks, just do the study of the collapses of investment policies, insurance policies, etc., that have happened in other countries elsewhere already. Where somebody that has some form of authority higher than you decides that your investment no longer is your investment. It happens. So when you enter into slavery, that inheritance that was yours, die aftree, in English it's a nest egg, isn't it? Die goue eierkie, that place at the coast, or this payment policy, or that whatever it is that you have, and I encourage you need to invest. Okay, you didn't get that. You need to invest. It's a scriptural principle. Read about it in the Bible, especially in Proverbs. Yeah, but I trust God for now. I'm living each day as if it's the last day. That's great. But that same God and that same Bible also says you need to make provisions for the future. No, you're not getting it. You don't like that, but that's okay. Only God can convince you of that. So when you enter into slavery, all of that inheritance of yours and provision for the future is gone. It's not there. The enemy's stolen it. It's not yours. But when you submit yourself to slavery of righteousness and holiness, you have a full inheritance. Amen. You have a full inheritance. All the promises of God, all the things that He has in store for you, everything that is His. I don't think you think, yeah, this erfenis. Okay, yeah, maybe some of... How many of you have been on the receiving end of an inheritance because of somebody that's died? Can I see your hands, please? Okay. You mourn the loss of that loved one, isn't it? How many of you have been the recipient of an inheritance for somebody that you didn't even know? You heard they were dead and it was like, yes, what am I going to get? Come on, come on, come on. It's not like, oh no, he's dead. I don't want to be insensitive here this morning, church. I'm trying to illustrate a point. Some of you are so upset by that. But it's a reality. Listen, I was a detective for 16 years. I worked with people like that in the law that they're not interested in the person that snuffed it. All they want to know is, how much am I getting of the fortune? Hello? Don't look at me with your holy, sanctimonious faces this morning. Come on, man. Come on, man. How many of you have been the recipient of an inheritance? You got something because somebody died. This, yeah, you're fully pain in your heart here and in your bedroof. Yeah, you're fully bedroof, ne? But you got to a point, yes, that which you got can never replace that person. But it somehow, it did enhance your life for the good, didn't it? Come on, man. Please be real with me. It did. Now you understand what inheritance is. So maybe you don't completely know God in all of His fullness. Maybe you don't completely know Jesus in all of His fullness. Maybe you're not familiar with the workings of the person of the Holy Spirit. But because Jesus has died, guess what? Because Jesus has died, guess what? I said, because Jesus has died, guess what? You have an inheritance. I see the coin has dropped for some of you. The penny has dropped. Mozzie, are you saying that because Jesus has died, even though I might not be so heart sore that He died, because, I mean, after all, I wasn't around at the time, you know. But I have an inheritance? Yes. 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 You have an inheritance. Your name. Your bynaam. Alles is daar geskrewe in thy will en testament. Piet Pompies, you get to inherit the following. Righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. No lack, no suffering, victory, etc. And it goes on and on and on and on. Trials and tribulations with victory and an outcome and a way forward. And I can go on. But the stuff that is written after your name in His will and testament is like this. Here it is. Here it is. There's 66 books of it. Go and check it out and see what is your inheritance. That's your inheritance. Why aren't you getting excited? What's fout met julle vanoggend? Julle is maar. Let me speak life. Lord, raise these dry bones in the name of Jesus. Help them to see this, Lord. My preaching ain't working. Spirit of God, communicate it to their souls in the name of Jesus. Help them to see their inheritance, Father, when they're a slave to You and righteousness. You have an inheritance second to none. Everything that is God's is yours. It's yours. Everything that is God's is yours. Yeah, but Mozzie, what did you say about the entitlement? Well, you sort that out between you and God as you work out your salvation with fear and trembling. The scripture says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It doesn't mean you must now calculate how to live forever. It means that since you've received the incorruptible seed of the Word of God and you have eternity living inside you, work it out. Work it out! And you sort those finer details out with God. Can you say amen? As you receive your inheritance bit by bit, moment by moment, one decision of faith at a time. Last scripture, as we get ready to worship the Lord together. And last point number six, a slave to righteousness and holiness has a full inheritance. Colossians 3 and verse 24. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive. Everybody say, will receive. I shall receive. You will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. You seated here this morning. I wonder, as a slave, I started off by saying, God is speaking to slaves this morning. If you're a slave to sin in some area of your life, please stand. I'm standing. I'm a slave to pride. I'm a slave to selfishness. Why is it? Okay, hallelujah. Suddenly, honesty has come upon the people. Hallelujah. If you're a slave to some form of sin, whatever it is, and it might not be a specific sin, maybe it's a slave, you're a slave to, I sense the Spirit of God wants me to say this, a slave to something that's not sin, but it's a weight that slows you down. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside the sin and the weight which so easily ensnares us. I mean, in other words, there's people that are standing here this morning, and you know, it's, Mozzie, it's not necessarily sin, but it's just something that's keeping me out of God's, the fullness of God's promise for me. And that's why I'm standing. Hallelujah. So I want to pray for us this morning. Lord, you see us here, your people, your sons and your daughters, the people for whom you shed your precious blood, you gave up your life, gladly laid it down so that we could live in eternity, a life of full abundance, Lord. And Lord, you see our openness and our honesty before you. Here it is, niks wat ons kan wegsteek van u af. U ken ons deur en deur en al ons weer beter as wat ons onsself ken, Here. Daarom kom ons na u toe, Here. U ken die issues waarmee die mense gekonfronteer is vanoggend. Dit wat aangaan in elke persoon se hart, wat deur hulle gedagtes gegaan het, tydens hierdie tyd wat ons saam met u kon gesit het aan die tafel van die lewende brood. U ken hulle. Lord, whatever they're battling with, whatever they're struggling, in the name of Jesus, by your Spirit, set them free. Set them free right now. Set them free. Set them free. Set them free. If you're standing there, if it's a sin that you need to repent of it. Say, God, I'm sorry. Forgive me, Lord. I don't want to do this again. I want to be free from this, Lord. Jesus, thank you for paying the price so that I can receive forgiveness. Repent of it right now. Right now where you're standing. And as people repent, set them free. Spirit of God, set them free. Set them free. Set them free. Set them free, Lord. Set them free, Lord. And as Moses said to Pharaoh, he said, let God's people go. I say to you, Satan, this morning, in the name of Jesus Christ, you let God's people go. They're not yours. They don't belong to you. They belong to the one who made you. And as of today, they're free. And free indeed in the name of Jesus. And if you're standing here this morning and you want to have a transference of this thing, being slave to sin and unrighteousness, and you want to become a slave to righteousness, to holiness, because you want to live a life that is holy and pleasing to God, and you want to continue this journey, folks, remember, you volunteered to being a slave to sin. This morning, God is encouraging you to volunteer to be a slave to righteousness, leading to holiness. And if you want to volunteer that this morning, right there where you're standing, you do business with God. And you can pray along these lines if you want to. Father, the shackles and the chains have been broken off my hands, broken off my feet, and broken off my mind, and broken off my heart, so that in my mind I can be free, in my heart I can be free, and with me I can be free. And this morning, Lord God, I want you to take me captive. Take me captive again. Captivate my mind. Captivate my heart. And as I read this morning, Lord God, when we read the word together, that my whole body must be used, every part of it as an instrument that brings about holiness and righteousness. I want you to take my body captive, Lord. And I want to be a slave to righteousness and holiness this morning. And if you've prayed that prayer, just pray the Spirit of God comes upon you right there where you're seated. Right there where you're seated. Spirit of God, touch your people. Touch your people. Touch your people. Lord, those who are serious, those who are sincere, touch them. Fill them, Lord. Stir their souls, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And those who are not sure, Lord, be gracious to them. Be patient with them. Be loving and kind with them, Lord. Deal with them graciously, Lord God, according to your loving kindness. In the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. And amen. Joanne, how many first-time visitors did we have this morning? How many? One visitor. All right. Okay. If the Holy Spirit of God has ministered to you this morning, then I trust that you apply that to your life. I would just like to see the handlebar team literally